We are also brought to you by the legends at Manscaped. Manscaped, thank you so much for keeping our trims pubed, for looking after our hogs, for making sure that our dinks are looking fresh and clean. Because make sure you guys check out Manscaped's site-wide savings for Black Friday. That's this Friday. Deals run from 11/22 through 11/29, Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Ho ho, gentlemen. The holidays came here early at Manscaped, the leading men's hygiene brand. Manscaped just launched new products, including their all-new Ultra Premium Body Wash and a 2-in-1 Shampoo and Conditioner. It's time to give yourself or someone who needs it the gift of beautiful skin, hair, and balls this holiday season. Go to manscaped.com/godeep for 20% off plus free shipping. Throw in the H-phone, start the car, and let's get down. What's up, Stokers of Stoke Nation? This is Chad Kroger coming in with the Going Deep with Chad and JT podcast. I'm here with my compadre, Jean Thomas. What up?
Boom clap, Stokers.
And we're here with the jester of jacking off.
Oh.
I don't know why I keep going jacking off. Strider Wilson, what up?
Dude, freaking what up? I've been talking about jacking off a lot lately, too.
I feel like that nickname probably is not as flattering as like the maestro of matrimony.
But you know,
depends on your values.
Right.
Yeah. And it has integrity too.
There's probably a lot of people out there who are like, no, I think the jang off one is
right.
The peak.
Cause it's honest and it's true. And, but so are the other ones.
They like jacking off too.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It's nice.
I mean, I love it. I love it. Yeah.
It's great. You got to take care of you.
But I'm more of a doer than a sayer.
Right.
Yeah.
when people meet you, they know.
Yeah,
they know that guy jacks off.
Yeah, I just put in the effort, but I don't brag about it. I just keep it to myself. Well, you asked me after we did a show at the Improv, and you asked me after your set. You're like, "Am I talking about jacking off too much?"
And you gave me a very good, honest answer. You go, "Dude, if I'm shooting straight, yeah." And I go, "That's what I need to hear." But that's a good bro. A good bro is going to give you the answer. He's not going to give you the answer you want to hear, he's going to give you the answer you got to hear.
Well, and you crushed, though. You had an amazing set.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It was fun. That was really fun, man.
That was a really fun show.
Dude, those are some of the best times when we're all doing a show. It's very nerve-wracking, dude. Like,
oh, yeah. And then in the middle of it, I'm sort of like off to the side, just like, even waiting to like go up as a host. Mm-hmm. Especially because I had a bunch of friends come, too, and I didn't realize they were coming. But I was super stoked that they came, but that just racked up my nerves like times 10.
Always, when there's people there, you know.
And I do need to address this, guys, if I may do so on this forum, which you've so graciously given me right now. You know, dude, and maybe I'm being a bit of a, and for lack of better words, little bitch. You know, I haven't put a strip down the middle of my dome.
Right.
And it's been noticed.
Oh, right.
And we were on the stage, and one could say this was a hypocritical move of me. We shaved a dude's dome, and he stepped up,
Jeremy.
And he was stoked. Dude, Jeremy's shout out, bro.
Jeremy Saint-On.
You're a legend, bro.
He's going to be my legend of the week.
Dude,
he's
needs to be. And dude, he has great flow.
Mm-hmm.
Great flow.
2 years of growth.
Long hair.
And he was a good bro, and he's like, bro, I go, dude. I looked at him, I'm like, dude, I understand, because I'm not brave enough, and you guys are very brave to do this. And I go, are you sure you want this? And he goes, hell yeah, bro. And then I was honored to do it. And so if, you know, I could get called out, say that's a bit of a cop out or two-faced, but it's just, I don't know. I'm not there yet. I respect what you guys do and what you're doing for the Rainforest. It's so huge and brave, and it's a huge step, and all the power to Jeremy. So
I appreciate that, but I don't think you need to do it.
I appreciate that, man. And I would, dude. I mean, I would. I got my job. Like you guys know, I'm back at the hotel now. I gotta punch in and punch out.
Yeah.
Also, we got a little engagement party coming up. So, fiance wants me looking good.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I see the comments, people calling you out on YouTube and Instagram,
it hurts.
I hate it.
Me too.
I feel it, dude. I'll tell you guys right now. I think about it. I read them.
It hurts you.
And I think about them, dude. Yeah.
Does it hurt you?
It hurts because they're not wrong.
I kind of like.
You like it?
JT's got a bunch of burner accounts, dude.
I kind of like it.
They're all just JT. Fucking bitch.
Shave your head.
Your hair sucks anyway. I have bad hair. What am I doing? I always get a dog.
No, it looks like
a hairnet. It's in my hair permanently.
I mean,
I should do it, but it's just
no. I don't think you have to do it. Yeah,
and I think given your height. and your presence, I think you can represent the grandfather trees of the forest that have been there for a millennia.
Thank you.
They're still just crushing it. And I think you can represent that for us.
Thank you, dude. Chad, I really appreciate that. And I appreciate both you bros. And I fucking get fired up on the rainforest. I think it's dank, dude. And I want more of it. So it's legit.
Yeah, we're not trying to force anybody into anything either. Yeah, this is a strictly voluntary service and not everyone has to do it. Plus, I mean, you didn't volunteer to shave the dude's dome. I asked you to shave the dude's dome because I got baked after my set and I didn't want to give someone a haircut inebriated. So I was like, Strider's got a steady hand.
Dude, you were hilarious. You did a thank you for doing that, JT, and solidifying that. I appreciate that. But it was also hilarious when you brought up the last comic.
Alonzo Bowden.
Yeah, who was hilarious. He was great.
Super funny guy.
So funny, dude.
Has a podcast on ATC. Check it out.
Who's paying attention?
He's legit, man. Very funny. That's the name of it. Poignant, good material, dude. And, JT was super high and he was doing a good job introducing him. He goes, and next we have, and he goes, comic guy. And like his brain, like, dude, your brain literally straight up went into high mode. And then he came up along the buttons like, that was fucking weird. All right.
What happened was I was like, so this next comic guy. And then I went, comic guy.
Yeah.
And then I went, is that weird that I said comic guy? And I looked at the audience and everyone was just like, what are you talking about? And then I went, you can check out his podcast on ATC. Who's paying attention? Everybody clap it up for Alonzo Bowden.
Yes, that's exactly, is right. That's exactly what went down.
And then I came up the stage and you were like, why'd you do that? I was like, I don't know.
It was so good.
I don't know. Just a misfire.
Comic guy.
Yeah, that was a fun show. And then we're all hungover, even though it was 2 days ago, but we went to my brother's wedding on Saturday night. And it was a fucking rager.
Bro.
It was my favorite wedding of all time. It had the thing that I found out I most love about life. It was kind of what I commented about in Vegas afterwards. Dude, when you're on a dance floor and everyone is pulsating and vibrating at the same level and it feels like you're one entity, it's got that like Matrix 2 Reloaded rave vibe to it.
Yeah.
And you literally feel like you're being lifted up in the air, like your spirit's coming out of your body. It feels Greek. It's like Dionysian or something. I felt that Dionysian spirit. I was like, whoa. We're all connected, just, and I was on a ton of mushrooms too. And I was like, we're just vibrating. And it was like 200 people just in that elevated state for like an hour.
Isn't that, are you talking about the main party or the after party?
I missed a lot of the after party, but the main party. Yeah. But both. Yeah. The dance floor was like, it felt like everyone had like streams of energy between them connecting us all.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, it was sick.
It was very sick. I looked over at one point and our bro Brooks had Chris up on his shoulders, dude.
Did he really?
Yeah, Brooks like 6'6". You know, I love height. And he was just up there. Dude. I was like, that's so fucking rad. And everyone was like, yeah, dude.
To Like a Prayer by Madonna.
Oh, yeah. Dude, the band kicked ass.
They were good.
Dude, if you're in a wedding band, you're versatile. You like, dude, you can do it all, man. The dude that was singing, there was a guy and a girl both singing. But I got to say, the dude was amazing, man. That guy ripped.
Well, those two dudes who did like a cappella.
Luke and Paul Connor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was unreal.
Dude, Luke rewrote American Pie, the song from his speech at the reception dinner. And then they sang Circle of Life.
Yeah.
Paul and Luke so beautifully.
Yeah.
Like funny, but with heart.
Or no, it was
Can You Feel the Love
Tonight? Can You Feel the Love Tonight? Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, that was.
Well, I started hearing it and I was like, in my mind, I was like, man, it'd be sick if they broke into Can You Feel the Love Tonight? And they started doing it. I was like, yes. Fuck yeah, dude. I love that song.
And it hit the high notes really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, they turned. Like, physically, they were locked in. Like, they were like, what is it? Tonight. Like, when it goes to that falsetto. Mm-hmm. And they both turned and went, tonight. And they made the same face. And I was like, how are they so locked in?
They're bros, dude.
I love the line. I love the lyric. Can he be the king I know he is, the king I see inside? That always gets me fired up. I'm going to sing that to my son.
Oh,
it's a beautiful song.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And then, dude, I invited a date from Hinge.
Oh, you did?
At like 9:30. Yeah, she showed up.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Dude, she's a legend for showing up.
Dude, it's a crazy story. She shows up and I'm like, hey, so nice to meet you. So thank you so much for coming. She's like, yeah, for sure. And I was like, hey, but like, I got to hit the dance floor. So I start dancing.
Yeah.
I come back, I dance with her a little bit, but she seems like she's doing all right on her own.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to like, you know, like stop having fun, but I was still trying to be like, you know, do both. And then I think I'm not sure on the timeline, but at some point I noticed she was flirting with another guy who was at the wedding. Mm. And I was like, whoa, okay, okay. And I was like, well, hey, she should have fun. I'm having fun. All good, all good. So then I went up and I started hitting on someone else who was at the wedding. Mm-hmm. And then she kind of got mad at me. She was like, you're like hitting on someone else. I was like, you've been like, we were doing that back and forth bullshit. And then we ended up separating for a while. And then the next morning I found out she hooked up with this other dude.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Dude, I had no idea any of this went down.
And then the dude apologized to me, and I was like, bro, it's all good. Like, it was weirder to me that he apologized, but yeah. It was nice, I guess. But I was also like, it's good, dude, it's good. But I, yeah. And then, but I'm not sure which one of us splintered off first.
Right.
But, because I ended up spending time with someone else, and then I think, but I'm not sure who did what first.
Right.
Dude, if you think about it, you gave, like... You gifted her with the dankest night ever. I'm hoping that dude had a nice D piece. And
he's really handsome.
Hopefully,
he's
a little bit of like a blah, 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 blah.
Good looking guy.
I want to know who it is off mic.
The guy?
Yeah.
He had a red beanie. I know that.
Yeah. I don't know if you know him, but he's like a handsome guy. Yeah, really, yeah, he's cool. He's cool. Yeah.
He was rocking a beanie at brunch, bro. If you wear a beanie at brunch, you're handsome, dude. Like, that's just straight up.
Nice.
But, dude, you invited her to the sickest rager of all time. There's an open bar. And she met a hot dude and hooked up with him. What are you, fat, fucking dude. Santa Claus, dude?
I hooked it up. Come through, I'll hook you up fat.
Yeah, dude, Christmas came early, dude. Like, are you kidding me?
She was texting me a lot the next day, and I was like, I was texting her back, but I was like, I think this might be it for us.
Right.
I just don't know if we ever hit critical mass.
Did you say that?
No.
Oh, right.
Should I say that? That seems like too much.
No, no. Yeah.
She texted you back, was she like, hey, are any of your bros getting married in a couple weeks? Yeah.
She's like, do you have any other cool friends? Yeah. I was like, yeah, I'll keep my eyes peeled.
Yeah. Dude, the level of dude at this wedding, very elite level bros at this wedding.
Many nice.
It was so good, dude. And dude, good on your bro, Chris, dude. Legend. Shout out to Chris, dude, for just like, you know, throwing it out, inviting the older bros too, and getting us all out there together. Cause dude, it was just so much fun, dude. And dude, like I gotta say, right now, trying to plan a wedding and stuff, the seating arrangements, very well done, Becca and Chris. Everywhere I looked, I saw someone I loved. And I was bringing it in, and I'm eating this. Dude, we sat next to each other, bro.
That was very nice.
It was so sick, dude.
Who else was at the table?
I sat next to one of Becca's friends, too.
I didn't know that couple.
Yeah, but they're cool. I like chat with them a lot. They're from Louisville. And then who else did we have at our table? Do we have Brooks?
We had Brooks.
Dude, I can't remember.
Brooks and his lovely wife, Lindsay, who's legit.
The best.
Then we had fucking Johnson and his sister.
Nice.
And then Joe and Brittany were going to be at our table, but they came from like another wedding. So right. It was fire.
They did two weddings that day.
Yeah. Dude, I was talking to Ferraro and Babona. I'm like, raw beef liver, you got to get on it. And like, I kept going at them like during that. I was like, what's up, dudes? Have you thought more about it? And Babona was like, fuck no, dude. I'm not doing that. And Ferraro was like, he's like into it. And his wife comes over. He's like, he's telling me about raw beef liver. And she's like, what the fuck? And I'm
like, you know, Ferraro's the right guy for it.
Yeah, I know. Because I was like, if anyone's going to do it, it's going to be Ferraro. And I'm like, just think about it. And I just sort of went and danced off.
Dude, that's vital intel you're passing. That's good.
The next day, I'm like, why did I just keep going on about that?
You love beef liver, dude.
I do. It's a healthy thing to talk about.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
We should all try it. I wanted to try beef liver and surprise you that tried it, but I don't cook. So we should all just do beef liver together so we know what's up.
Yeah.
Since I don't shave my dome, I would try beef liver with you.
I'll prepare it,
and I'll probably throw up.
No,
you won't. You'll be fine.
You'll get
some. Do you cook it?
No, I just cut it up raw.
No, you don't, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, you said raw.
Oh, so you don't cook it at all? You just eat it straight raw?
Can we cook it, though?
Is that okay?
Yeah. I mean... I've been fine.
Do you still get it from Belcampo? It's closing, right?
Yeah, I get it from Whole Foods now. Organic grass-fed, but...
Wait, why is Belcampo closing?
You know, I heard that they had a... just like a billionaire investor, but, you know, they never really just made much money, so he just cut his losses.
Just pulled the plug on the experiment.
Especially because they had that, like, scandal
over
the summer where...
With their jelly?
They're repackaging, like, Ralph's steaks.
Yeah.
Oh,
because it was, like, the most expensive... meat in LA for sure. I think in LA for sure. And so now they're no more, which is a bummer. I like going to them. But then again, now that they're closed, I'm like, dude, I would spend like $100 on like two steaks.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Is it cheaper at Whole Foods?
Yeah. And like beef liver is like $6 because no one gets it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty nice.
But it has to be organic grass fed. Then I think it's fine.
Dudes, I danced 12 miles at the wedding.
How'd you track that?
My step counter.
Amazing. Dude, yeah. I believe it, bro. Bro, yeah. Before they even like, you know, like you do the wedding, you do the cocktail hour, the groom's party, whatever goes, takes photos.
Yeah.
I feel like as soon as JT was done with photos, he was on the dance floor with like his, your aunt or something like that.
Yeah, Mary
getting Ann. After we it, bro. And dude, Mary Ann was ripping, dude.
Well, my dad came up to me and my dad was doing this, you know, my dad like can never chill. He always has to have like a mission. He comes up to me and goes, JT, we need to get fucking people on the dance floor. Can you do that for me? And I was like, yeah, dad, I got you. So then I'm like getting everybody on the dance floor. Yeah. Okay, the dance floor starts popping. My dad goes up to me and goes, JT, we need to get everybody to sit down. We need to give some speeches now.
Like, what? Amazing.
I was like, no, you got to chill, dude. I was like, we're not shutting down the dance floor. We just got it going. And my dad's like, JT, get everybody to sit down. We need to do some speeches now. We got to switch it up. I was like, no, we're not doing that, dude. I was like, one thing.
Your mom was crushing it, too.
Dude, she was a star that night. Her dress and her energy. Yeah.
Her shoes.
Yeah.
She switched into some chrome dancing shoes that were fucking amazing.
She was loving it.
They gave great speeches too. And then, dude, my last dance of the whole night, closing time, me and Chad slow danced holding each
other. Did you really?
It was really nice.
Yeah. Oh, I wish I would have seen that.
I think I kissed him on the cheek at the end. It was pretty romantic.
Dude, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, we said some kind words to each other and we just held each other and danced. Yeah.
I love
dude,
that.
Dude, at the after party too, they put on Nickelback.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
The DJ was very nice. He was like, dude, can I get that mic? And I just sang.
Oh, you belted the fuck out of it. It was surprising because I was rocking out.
Yeah.
And then I just heard this. Dude, honestly, you sounded really good.
Oh, thank you.
Because I heard this voice and I was like, is someone singing live? But it did not sound like Chad Kroeger.
Yeah,
you are Chad Kroeger, so it sounded like Chad Kroeger. But I turned and looked, and you were just belting it. And I was like, hell yeah, dude.
That's amazing.
I don't even know where you got the mic from, but...
I asked the DJ, I'm like, dude, can I grab that mic real quick? And he's like, hell yeah. And
what a legend,
I just got on there and ripped it. Can I talk about Clay?
Yeah, sure. Okay.
So Clay Thompson. So I just kept asking him questions. I'm like, how do you balance like partying and playing? Like, what's going on with that? And he's like, I don't know, man. I just fucking do it. I was like, all right, thanks. Good talk. I'll see you later. I just kept coming up to him. I'm like, dude, another question. I just got to ask.
He's laid back. I always pick his brain about stuff too. I always ask questions about dating and stuff.
He's the man, dude. I introduced him to my dank ass fiance. And right when I did, he immediately goes, hey, did you hear that he beat me at the bachelor party in 21? And I look at Clay, I go, thank you so much. It was amazing. She goes, oh yeah, I did. So immediately, dude, just the most charming guy. And also with his like balancing partying and playing stuff.
Yeah.
And we talked about this a little bit. You always have to remember, he's like the most elite fucking level of person athlete. That there is.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, what he can do, regular dudes just aren't doing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just, that's how it goes.
No, he's a special human being.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's awesome.
He really is,
just a great guy.
Yeah, really sweet guy.
All my brother's friends are just the shit, dude. Like his groomsmen, Robbie, Trevor, Reggie, Luke. Just like, I don't know, great hang, so funny. And they all can party their asses off.
Dude, those guys, bro. Hey, quick shout out to our boy Reggie, dude. The constitution on that fucking guy, dude.
Yeah.
I'm watching what he's taking down. I'm taking mental notes. I'd be dead the next day.
He doesn't get hungover. I hung out with him the next day. He's fine.
Really?
Yeah. Me and his girlfriend were marveling at it. I'm like, bro, how do you not get hungover? And she was like, I know. I don't get it. And he's just like, I just don't get hungover.
It's amazing, dude.
My brother doesn't get hungover. They both have just like iron constitutions.
Very even keeled guys too. I feel like their high highs, their low lows are never like crazy. Mm-hmm. And it's not because they're not getting after it, because they are.
No, they're super
just
fun.
Solid bros.
Yeah. Yeah. They ride it perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild.
It's pretty admirable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then big ups to, the Parr family and the Lyle family. Becca, Mary, Glow. You guys put on a great party. Mom, Dad, you guys crushed it. Dude, me and my dad were anxious. And then it turned in, once we got raging, it was all gravy at that point.
Oh, and we got to give a shout out to JT, the officiant.
Good call,
Chad. Thank you, dude. I was nervous as shit.
Dude, you took us on a roller coaster of, big laughs. You know, some tear jerking moments. It was very sweet, and you were nervous before, but I knew once you got on the mic and you felt the crowd, you were just gonna be snap into place.
Thank you, man. Yeah, I was really. I think everyone could feel my nerves. Like people would be like, "You all right, man?" I was like, "I'm nervous as shit."
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot, dude. I was nervous for you when everyone was walking. I mean, we do stand up, and I watch people walk down the aisle of the wedding. I'm like, oh, it looks nerve wracking,
dude. It was, but yeah, you're right. Once I got onto the mic, I felt better.
Yeah,
and I'll tell you, I was just sitting next to my brother and Becca, and I was like, all right, it's just like, because I was just thinking about myself, I mean, I'm like, I got a crush, but then once I saw my brother, I was like, all right, it's his wedding, just like tee it up for the big guy,
yeah,
which is what you did. You nailed it so hard. And it's different too, because I was talking to our buddy Danny after, and he's like, you guys do stand-up. And I go, yeah, but you know what? Here's the thing. Like we just said, when I do a stand-up set and I know people in the audience, immediately worse. I have accountability. And then also, it's a wedding officiant speech. You don't want to be too funny. You're not peppering it with jokes. If you're too funny, that's bad.
Yeah.
You got to be a little funny up top, light moment, and then just get to it, which you did. And I remember being like, it was hilarious, like sitting next to some of the other bros. And like JT literally said a line that was like, Chris, my brother, and we're all like, we know they're brothers, but he fucking said that they're brothers. Mm-hmm. And since he said it, we fucking recognize it. And like, dude, all of our eyes were just like, oh,
no, dude,
it was amazing.
I kissed about 30 people that night. I hugged about 45 and grabbed one. I was like, you know how much I fucking love you? I'm talking to my dad's like lawyer. Yeah. I'm like, I fucking love you. I'm like, do you know what you mean to our family? Do you know what you've done for us? I love you forever. You're my family.
Dude, quick shout out to our buddy Greg, who had the best joke of the night where his accountant was there. And he literally just kept introducing everyone to his accountant. It was amazing.
Steve
bro.
Howard, great guy. Yeah. Came to our stand-up show.
Dude, he is awesome a great guy.
Yeah, he's really
funny too.
I chatted with him a little bit. He's like, I'm JT's, they're the family accountant. I'm like, dude, heard a lot about you. You're the man.
Dude, he's a great dude. Him and his wife are great, dude.
Dude, he's awesome. Yeah, really good guy. Steve, if you're listening, I love you, brother. Yeah.
He's great, dude.
I was so pumped to me. I was like, the accountant. Yeah. What's up, dude?
Bro, Greg kept going around introducing everyone multiple times, like me three times. Yeah. And like we would finally were like, me and Steve were like, yeah, we know. And we just thought, we chalked it up to Greg just being too hammered, but he was in on it.
That's funny.
It was good. What else, dudes? I want to talk about this. Neither of you guys watched Succession.
I did.
Oh, you do watch it?
Yeah.
Are you caught up?
Yeah.
What did you think about the most recent app?
I'd have to rewatch it because I was so hungover.
Yeah, I don't know if I like this season as much as I've liked the other ones.
To be honest, I'm a little bit confused.
Like as to what's going on?
Yeah, just the plot in general. Like I just don't understand business stuff, I guess.
Like with the DOJ and stuff, like what the investigation means?
Yeah, and they're like, you know, they're talking about like potential prison time. It's like, I'm like, is that a real thing? Like, or are they just talking about that? It's hard for me to like see people actually going to prison and stuff like that.
Yeah, they did kind of play it fast and loose with Tom potentially going to jail. Yeah. I thought that was kind of shoehorned in there, and now they're like forcing an arc with him.
Yeah.
That I mean, it makes sense because he works in like the cruise part of it. That's like the part that's getting in trouble.
Yeah.
But it does feel a little bit to me like I'm like, all right, you know, you can feel sometimes when a show or a movie is just trying to move the plot. Right. I felt it more this season than I have in past ones.
Yeah.
But it is still like really exciting, but you don't dig it. And Aaron doesn't really like it.
No. Yeah. No, my impression of the show is just probably like, oh, say it, dude.
Why? That wasn't it.
You're right. Yeah, don't edit that out though, so it's bad.
go again.
Don't
go
edit
again.
It out so that it's bad. Sometimes you got to sit in something bad. Yeah, man, it's just people being mean to each other a lot, and I don't care about any of the characters.
That's Aaron's beef.
I need like, someone to root for.
I think they do a good job of almost making you root for someone and then pulling that person away from you.
Yeah.
Like the Sopranos on steroids or something.
Yeah, it doesn't get me as much as Sopranos for sure. I like watching it for the acting, but I would say I'm not as invested in what happens to the characters. I kind of like watching it for the performances.
Right.
But I'm not sort of like, oh man, I wonder, you know, is Logan going to come out on top? Is Kendall, you know, I find it hard to really care.
Yeah, and then I thought Kendall was going to come in a little bit more formidable this season, but they teased that again. You were like, oh, maybe he'll stand up to his dad, but it's consistent with the character. He just continually self-destructs, and I relate to it a lot.
Yeah,
I relate to people who are like fail under pressure. You know what I mean? Right, like I always think about the Coney guy. Remember the guy who made the documentary about Coney in like 2012? Do you remember this?
Yeah.
About like the African warlord. And it took over the internet for like a couple days. And he became like this kind of, you know, hero for exposing this story and for making everyone aware of it. And then he went nuts, like from, I think, all the attention. And they caught him jacking off in the streets in San Diego.
That's right.
Like he had like a psychotic break.
Yeah.
And I really relate to that because I think he got so much credit for being a good guy. He was like, he couldn't handle it. He had to like, show the world his shit basically and be like, no, I'm actually a loser and I'm a bad guy and I jack off in public. And I was like,
whoa.
I think he just couldn't handle the surge of attention and positive attention.
I mean, dude, you guys have had a lot of attention. And I remember when we did the Joel Osteen video, you sent me a text too, because like we had a Fox interview or something like that or a, no, a K Houston video or something.
Yeah, like the local news in Houston.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Fostein. They came up with the name The Fostein.
Exactly. They were branding it. And that's also like nerve-wracking too, because then you're like, dude, you're doing comedy forever and you're like, this is my big thing or whatever, and like I'm being dubbed Fostein and I'm like, that's stupid.
Yeah.
But you sent a great text. You're like, dude, it's a lot at one time. Like, just enjoy it and like it'll be okay. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And that was helpful. And then obviously us doing the interview together was sick as hell. But you guys like have done a ton of that shit and had a ton of like big hit videos, like, and where stuff just moves so fast where it's like boom, boom, boom. Dude, people will DM me being like, hey, tell Chad and JT I want to interview them tomorrow.
Right.
You know, and it's just crazy.
It's great. Well, it's really fun. It's more good than bad for sure. Yeah. But it just,
in the moment, when the mask video came out, I was like, I got really kind of stressed.
Well, we were lucky too. We were staying together that weekend with Dan. So basically everyone besides Chigas who had worked on it was together.
Yeah.
So we all got to like have fun with it.
Yeah.
But then after a couple days, because it lasted a couple days, which, and I know this sounds like maybe not the biggest, but it was crazy for us. Like,
yeah.
And then after a couple days, I remember we were both like, no more. Like, yeah. I need a break. Mm. Yeah. Well,
I remember when the Paul Walker statue video hit. Yeah. I just felt so exposed. Because the whole, it feels like the whole, everyone, all eyes turn on you on like one instant. And you're just like, oh, fuck. You know what I mean?
No, I'm smiling because I remember hanging out with you those couple days.
Yeah.
And like, I remember we went to Greenblatt's with some of the guys you were working with at the time.
Yeah.
And the waitress was acting kind of funny towards you.
Yeah.
And then she walked away and we're like, did she recognize you? Did you know what's going on? Yeah. Like, we couldn't like make heads or tails of like, because so many people wanted to hang out with you in that moment too.
Yeah.
And it was like...
Yeah, it feels like in that moment where you're like, it's just like, but then when you sort of start to get out of it, you're like, oh, it wasn't as like big a deal as I felt like. But in the moment, you do feel like there's like a lot of people like just watching you.
No, everyone wanted a piece of you in that moment too.
Yeah,
I remember even me. I was like, I gotta hang out with Chad today. I think I even told you that.
I woke up and I opened the door. You're just standing there. I'm like, what's up, dude?
I remember you told me you're like, do you think people are like treating me different? I'm like, yeah, I'm treating you different. I was like, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
But yeah, I relate. Kendall. Someone told me I feel like Kendall at the wedding too.
Which character is Kendall? Is he?
He's the main dude who like is always trying to like patricide his father.
Okay. Yeah.
Patricide.
He wears the dude working back at the hotel. It's hilarious. Bill, it's like, because it's all like rich people.
His father.
Yeah, patricide, dude. Patricide,
but I said patricide. His father's redundant.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But go ahead, Department of redundancy department that you work for did, and dudes wear those fucking Apple headphone things.
Because of him, you think?
Yeah.
Because that photo got so meme.
Yeah. They're not like convenient looking. It looks terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's not cooler than, it's just saying I have a, like if you wear that, you're being like, I have $1 billion.
Right. Yeah. It's a signifier.
Yeah.
Dude, I wanted to make a meme out of Bill the Butcher waking up in the morning after getting shot in Gangs of New York. He just has like three ladies sleeping on top of him. It's a pretty hilarious image.
What's the best Daniel Day-Lewis role?
Mm-hmm.
It could be that.
I think it's... Well,
oh, My Left Foot?
Yeah, but see, I don't enjoy watching
Neither
that
do I. Neither do
so I would go with movies that I like watching more. Like, he's amazing in Phantom Thread. I don't really like watching that. He's amazing in There Will Be Blood, but to me, the pitch of it is too high. It's too intense all the way through. I need, like, more variety, I guess, in it. And so I would go Gangs of New York.
Agreed.
Maybe one. And then two... And I think, like, you know, A.O. Scott would disagree with me. But number two, I would go... In the Name of the Father.
Haven't seen it.
Which I think is like a beautiful movie and a really good performance. And then number three, I'd probably go Last of the Mohicans.
I would put that as two because I've seen it and it's so much fucking fun.
And he's amazing in it.
It's great.
And honestly, his transformation in that might be the craziest because if you watch the behind the scenes stuff, like Michael Mann's like, I had to teach because you know, Daniel Day-Lewis's dad's a poet. He's like, I had to take a poet's son and teach him how to run like a proper frontiersman. And it's like, he wasn't like an athlete or anything, but if you watch the movie, he's like the most badass motherfucker.
Yeah, ever. He was playing lacrosse in the beginning, which is a Native American sport invented by Native Americans. And when
he's running with those rifles, you're like, don't get in this dude's way. Yeah, totally. Hawkeye will fucking save his woman at any cost.
I really enjoyed Lincoln too.
Oh, dude, I totally forgot about that. That's up there for sure.
When that movie came out, that's when I first was starting to be like, oh, I want to be an actor. So I remember I watched that and I watched Wolf of Wall Street. in the theater by myself.
Good movies.
I was watching Lincoln. I was like, yeah, this is sick.
He's great.
Just for the perform. I mean, yeah.
Dude, it's unreal.
Yeah.
I think he felt more like Lincoln than Lincoln. Like, I think if you would have put him... the real Lincoln and Daniel Day-Lewis in a room, and I had to pick who was actually Lincoln, I'd go with Daniel Day-Lewis.
Right.
Like, that's Lincoln.
Yeah, he's the real Lincoln comes in.
Like, yeah, but yeah, that's not Lincoln. Dude, I'm like, that's Lincoln.
I feel like that happens sometimes. Like, dudes are better at impressions than... like, I would have rather watch Frank Caliendo do a Gruden impression.
Than he's incredible at his impressions.
It's unreal.
Dude, this film critic Wesley Morris made a good point that he doesn't think... he thinks we give too many Oscars to people who play real people, and that we should give more Oscars to people who are playing made up.
Mm. Correct. Because you get to be more inventive.
Yeah, you have to create like the person out of nothing.
Yeah.
And then Bill Simmons was on, it was on Bill Simmons, and Simmons was like, yeah, it's almost like how we do screenplay and adapted screenplay. Mm-hmm. Like there could almost be two Oscars for like playing a real person and then playing a made up person.
That'd be great. Yeah.
Because it is like, you think about all the people in Oscars, it's like Jamie Foxx for like Ray and stuff like that, or...
Remy Malek.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like if you play like a actor, or I mean, or if you play a musician who's like been through it, you just automatically get a nomination. But it is kind of more interesting to be like, what's like a big made up one? Well, even Belford, and I was going to say Wolf of Wall Street, but that's maybe like Oscar Isaac and like Inside Llewyn Davis or something like that.
Fantastic.
Well, made up musician.
Like I was watching, I saw King Richard over the weekend and it's about Venus and Serena Williams' father.
Yeah.
And then they show real footage of him after. And Will Smith puts on, he has like this lisp, this sort of like walk about him. And then they show footage of the real guy. And I'm like, oh, everything Will Smith did was kind of more pronounced.
He's doing an extra version of him.
Yeah. Where I was watching, I was like, oh, he's kind of like, it was interesting. Cause you expect him, the way he portrays him, you expect him to be like this kind of like, I mean, and he is kind of like a, you know, he has this sort of crazy personality, but when I watched footage of him for real, I was like, oh, he doesn't have a bad of a lisp and all this
right
shit. It was interesting.
It was, maybe it was like draft like two of a character study of like how to get into it,
but I thought he did a good job. I mean, I believed him throughout the movie and I was like moved by it, so I was like,
everyone says he's gonna win. And then I think the female front runner, oh, it's Kristen Stewart for playing Princess Di, so it's like
what movie is that?
Spencer,
I should see it.
I'm only 12 minutes into King Richard, but Will Smith got the shit kicked out of him. He like, a guy's like catcalling his girl, and the guy's like a rough dude. And the young kid, like the young rough kid, like beats the hell out of Richard.
Mm-hmm.
And that compounded with how many times I've talked about this, but Jada Pinkett Smith just always going on Red Table and saying how she's not attracted to Will or how she had to cheat on him.
Yeah.
And then Will, like you said in his book, calls himself a coward.
Yeah.
And he came out in the public and said he was so threatened by Tupac, it like ate him up inside.
Mm.
And I'm just like, dude, Will, you know you're the man, right? Like, I think he's like a real masochist. I think he likes, I think it like fuels him to do these big things, is he has to like get kind of, he's got to be like a public punching bag to like bounce back.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah. Yeah. Cause in the book I'm, you know, I'm listening to it on tape. I'm, you know, 3 hours in, and a lot of it is just about how, I mean, he does talk about, he's like, you know, a lot of people see Will Smith, the man, the red carpet guy with the hot wife. He's like, but I feel like a coward and all this stuff. And he's like, I use my, I use performance and like being funny to, you know, because I'm a pleaser, and I've, all my relationships, I've been, you know, incessantly needy and stuff. And you're like, really? But it's interesting.
I think we need to take Will Smith on a hunting trip. I don't really hunt, but we could do it. We'll ride some snowmobiles with like rifles strapped to the back.
Yeah.
And we'll just fucking put down a moose, dude.
Yeah.
And then we'll have him fucking eat its heart.
But do you think he's doing that though? Because it's, and I love Will Smith.
Of course.
I'm a big fan. Yeah, I'd love to hang out with him, but I'm listening to it and I'm like, is he hopping on this vulnerability train too hard? Where he's just like,
right,
going way too hard in the like that I'm a piece of shit.
Yeah,
so you guys can relate to me.
He's going way too hard in it.
Yeah.
I don't need to relate to Will Smith.
No, I like Will Smith doing pull ups and I Am Legend. That, yeah. I mean, the whole book could be his technique for that, and I'd be like, that was a great book.
Be a rock star, baby.
That'd be an awesome book.
Yeah,
but maybe that's who he is. Maybe that is genuinely who he is.
Yeah.
But it's just weird that we didn't get to see it until like the late second act of his career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think, Aaron?
Yeah, good call.
I don't know.
I was just thinking that Will Smith should have been in the actor draft.
Right. That dude, I was thinking that. I was listening to the book. I'm like, oh, yeah, he wasn't mentioned once.
But I mean, you know, he hasn't had his big...
I don't think he's great in dramas. I think he's really good in comedies. I still think the thing he was best in is Fresh Prince. Like, I think that's his best
role. Eventually.
Yeah, 6 Degrees of Separation was really good. Be so young in that.
Because the first season of Fresh Prince, he's mouthing everyone else's lines.
Right, yeah.
While they're talking.
Yeah. And so it's also probably just nostalgic for me because I was like 7. I just watched him like, yo, this is the most charismatic person I've ever seen. And
he's so cool. Yeah. But dude, he's good. Ali, he's good.
Mm-hmm. Nah.
You don't like him in Ali?
He's bad in Ali.
Really?
I think it was a tough role. I think because Ali, you can watch footage
Ali's
of Ali.
Ali's such a legend. Dude.
He's so charismatic and he actually makes Will Smith. And Will Smith, that movie plays Ali kind of serious.
Yeah.
You don't get like... I think as much of the charisma from Ali as you do from like, if you watch that doc, like
the script did not do it. Yeah. Like it could have been a better script.
Yeah, I think so. And probably not Michael Mann directing, even though I like Michael Mann.
Yep. I was going to say it's the second time we brought him up today.
Yeah. I think it probably should have been.
I mean, speaking of Michael Mann and
Spike Lee and Denzel,
you know, me sort of, I guess the thesis for my showing on this podcast is just coming clean about stuff. And, I want to come clean and say that, look, I fucked up on Unforgiven. I fucked up, and you know, it's not an action movie, and I try to be too smart for my own good, and it's my bad. I fucked up, but I will say right now, and I'm not a good guy. It's not a total confession, because now I am not going to point the thumb. I'm going to point the finger, and I'm going to say, you know, Heat is basically a crime drama. That has good action sequences.
Well, look, all movies are in multiple genres. You just so happen to pick one movie that's not in the action genre at all,
bro.
And because you said it was a revisionist action movie.
Yeah, dude, it deconstructs, bro.
No, it's a revisionist Western.
Smart, exactly. It's right. You're right. Fuck, you're right.
He's
fucking right.
Look, dude. A lot of people have been disputing like what's like a proper action movie. And I think for some people to be an action movie, you have to just be like, kind of like not realistic or like cheesy or something like that, for lack of a, I don't think that's what they mean exactly, but they're like, for some people, I think it's only like Michael Bay style movies or action movies.
Right.
But I do think there's like more elevated, serious action movies. And I think Heat is one of those.
Well, yeah. People brought up, they brought up Inglourious Basterds too.
I don't think that's an action movie.
I
don't think so either. That's historical whimsy. That's this genre that Quentin sort of inventing on his own, where these sort of restructurings of history with the Manson murders and rewriting it. Very fun.
I think it's so
I call
fun.
It historical whimsy. Yeah.
There's action in it, but I wouldn't say Inglourious Basterds is an action movie.
Yeah.
The ratio of talking to action is too significant.
Yeah, bro, you have Christoph Waltz.
It's too big of a disparity.
25 minute scene sitting down.
Yeah, and they don't have big like shootouts and stuff. They're all pretty quick, where it's like people get shot really quickly, or then even like when they blow up the theater, it's like they're just shooting, you know, Hitler in the face, and then it blows up.
Yeah. And I think a lot of that action is played more for laughs than for thrills.
Yeah.
Like if you watch like Heat or The Town, which are like kind of serious movies that have action scenes.
Yeah.
Like those action scenes are meant to really excite you and for you to get like turned on by how like well they're choreographed and how real the guns sound.
Yeah.
Like there's people, it's kind of cartoonish and not that you can't be like cranks in an action movie and it's super cartoonish, but
like Starship Troopers or something.
Yeah. That's still an action movie. But a lot of these, I mean, look, a lot of these things are fluid. It's hard to know officially. And then, go ahead.
Some people said that they thought Mission Impossible 2 is the worst one.
It is the worst one, but that's why I like that you picked it.
No, it's not. Yeah.
Well, this
no,
is why it's good.
Not,
that's the worst one.
Well, you went with your heart. I like it. One's probably the worst.
Three's great with Philip Seymour. Great villain.
No, people don't like three.
What? I love three.
I don't think there's a bad one in the bunch, to be honest.
Thank you.
One is a
different style of movie than the other four or five now.
I think the later ones, he gets,
I like them all.
He gets the shit kicked out of him too much, where I'm like, dude, just like relax.
Well, that's the thing. People were saying we should have picked Mission Impossible before like James Bond. You know what I mean? And maybe the action's better in Mission Impossible, but if I have to be one of them, there's no I don't want to be Ethan Hunt. Like if I transport Ethan Hunt's body right now, I'd be like running from like a sandstorm and about to get like punched in the stomach by like an anvil. Like if I transported into James Bond's body right now, what am I doing?
You're not fucking in the last one.
I'm banging. Yeah, not in that last one. Jesus Christ. This prude James Bond.
Dude, that, and
Chappelle, they cut his dick off.
in Chappelle's show, and they took away his gadgets,
and then they took away his gadgets.
They took away the two things for him to have fun toys and for him to have a lot of sex. Dude, it's like a child dream.
In Chappelle's show, and he has the Sesame Street, the adult Sesame Street.
Oh yeah.
And they're talking about STDs, and the one voiced by Snoop Dogg has like gonorrhea, and he like shows his dick. And they're like, "How'd you get that?" He's like, "From fucking."
Hilarious.
What else do we have here? Oh, the secret agent conversation, we had that together. It was you and me. Aaron and Strider.
Can we talk about secret agents?
Yeah.
And
you wanted to say Jack Reacher was a secret agent. And Aaron quickly corrected you.
He was an MP in the Army.
Yep.
And said that he doesn't have that job title.
It's true.
Yeah. Nice move.
It is true.
Good call.
Because he goes and sees his ex-colonel, Taryn Killam's wife. What's her name from How I Met Your Mother?
Oh, Colby Schmulders,
yeah.
And that's when I came up with your new nickname.
Who was great on the impeachment, by the way. Colby Schmulders played Ann Coulter. She's great.
Oh, really?
Colby Schmulders is legit, dude.
Yeah, she's good. You know how there's the last, like, airbender?
Yeah.
I think you're the last genre bender. You know, people like
Yeah, but the anime like, one, not the M. Night Shyamalan one.
You know, people
one.
Whip around like earth and air. You whip around genre, dude. You just bend
yeah,
genre,
dude. Yeah,
dude, because
I'm fucking Neo. I just see through it, dude. Just binary and Minority Report, the genre, dude.
Yeah, that's why when we do top rom-coms, you're going to pick The Matrix.
Yeah, it's beautiful, dude. Trinity and Neo, people don't get the humor.
I feel
that's what, maybe that's one of my biggest beefs with Succession is Succession fans like getting it. Oh, dude, paper thin. A line between commentary and actual character. Oh yeah, dude. Fucking shut up, dude.
I like it. The shit talking is good though.
No, they do a good job. I mean, I just don't watch. I'm just not interested.
If Kieran Culkin was my brother, I'd beat his ass.
That's true. No one gets punched enough. They don't punch their dad enough. I'm like, just hit your dad.
That's why Game of Thrones is great, because Game of Thrones is essentially power maneuvering, but they cut each other's heads off. Mm-hmm. It's cool.
Right, it actually goes there.
Look, I want in my entertainment, I want killing and fucking, but I will settle for singing and dancing.
Hey, they come from the same place.
It's all romance.
Mm-hmm. A need for expression. Mm-hmm. Need to get it out. Do you guys want to answer some cues?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Dude, are you even going to drink your smash? I'll drink it.
You drink it. Because I'm still recovering. I don't want to, I got to be sick.
For everyone out there,
yeah, what
Strider is drinking. Do you want to explain what you're drinking? It's fruit smash, guys. It's our drink.
It's fruit smash with a plus sign.
Yeah.
Super hard seltzer. 8% ABV because I'm used to that IPA ABV. And I got to tell you, very dank. And it comes in a tall boy can. Great for taking out on the golf course. Great for just posting up on a pod with your boys. And it's dank, dude.
Nice.
8%.
Yeah.
And how does it taste?
Taste dank. This is pink lemonade. I'd crush this with an In-N-Out burger, never a Five Guys.
Dude, and that's what the fruit smash. Well done, guys.
For sure.
You guys crushed it. And an amazing can, too.
Yeah. Great product, great packaging.
Very fun
immediately
can.
Stoke inducing.
Yeah.
Makes me want to roller skate. Roller skating. Dangerous. Something I cannot do on my adult body. Rollerblading? Yeah.
No, you could do it.
Bro, have you roller skated?
Yeah, recently.
Yeah.
You recently went?
I wasn't very good, but yeah, I put on some skates.
Dude, it's fucking tough.
It's really tough.
Me and Chad were schmolling out at the beach, and I was telling some young lady she didn't know how to skate right, so she said, throw on the skates and let me see how you do it, and I strapped up.
You showed her what's what, dude.
I got on there, dude.
You got a good base, though.
You fucking shredded.
Yeah, I was going slow, but I was confident in it.
I was gonna, but I was like, are those K2s? And she's like, no, and I'm like, later.
Brand loyal, dude.
Good call.
What's up, guys? I'm interrupting this podcast to let you know once again that finally we are brought to you by the legends at Manscaped. Manscaped, thank you so much for keeping our trims peeved, for looking after our hogs, for making sure that our dinks are looking fresh and clean. Because jingle balls to the walls, fellas. Listen up. Untrimmed pubes are a thing of the past, and it's possible you have Santa's beard in your pants. It's time to leave your significant other some cookies and milk at the bottom of your chimney. That means your dong. And I'm talking about the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Guys, use the Lawnmower 4.0 It has proprietary advanced skin-safe technology to reduce cuts on your nuts. It's waterproof. You can use it in the shower. There's also a light on it, so you have a nice light on your dink. It's got the Crop Reviver Ball Deodorant, the Crop Reviver Moisturizer Toner. It's time to keep your North Pole feeling and smelling fresh. They got anti-chafing boxers. They got ultra-premium body wash. Guys, get on the performance package train. If you don't have good-looking nuts by now, you're missing out because Manscaped is giving you the tools, literally. And if you want to get on that train and you want to be a Manscaped connoisseur, get 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com/go deep. That is 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com/go deep. Black Friday deals run from November 22nd through the 29th, Black Friday and Cyber Monday. 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com/go deep. Clean up your nuts and make Santa proud this year. All right. That's it. Back to the show.
All right. You guys ready? Bros, love is in the air. The LA smog has never smelled so sweet. I met this smart, sexy young woman with dark humor and a cute laugh. She doesn't hide her emotions and is honest when she doesn't like something. The kind of person that after you meet them, you're inspired to start applying to law schools and volunteering at soup kitchens. Because they deserve someone like that. Dude, I get that.
Dude, the way you're reading this right now is like, this is poetic, dude.
She also knows how to have fun and has no issue being a sarcastic asshole when the time is appropriate. You know what I'm reading it like? Like that Sean Mullins song, Lullaby? Dude, yeah. She grew up with it, all the stars, James Dean, Sonny and Cher.
Sonny and Cher.
Everything's gonna be all right. Rockabye.
Needless to say, one of my surprise great concerts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I saw him at Hotel Cafe. He's great.
No, Sean Mullins
is
the man.
His voice is so amazing. It's mostly like folky singer-songwriter stuff.
Bob Seger, and Sonny and Cher.
Yeah, he's great. He looks, I mean, he's like a... He's got a beer belly and he's completely bald.
Good.
He's amazing.
That's nice.
Fuck yeah.
Needless to say, I don't want to fuck this up. On the first date, like most guys, I was a fucking wreck on the inside. Just grasping at straws. Hoping to land on a subject or joke that sparks a natural conversation instead of a formal interview. We broke through that membrane of apprehension and fell into a flow state. We didn't notice until the waiter asked us to leave that we were the last people left in the restaurant. I offer to drive her home, and when we get there, I say some generic bullshit like, I had fun tonight. And she gets out and leaves. I then spend the whole car ride back home upset with myself, going through all the cool things I should have said and the so-called moves I should have made. I was convinced that I came across as a total loser for not hooking up that night. Thankfully, she responded to the customary goodnight text. We had good back and forth, and she agreed to a second date. Now that I've gotten over the initial anxiety, I'm confident I can turn things around. My question is your opinions on first date decorum. He just tacked on a question.
Yeah, bro. I was going to say, just write my vows, bro. What question is there, dude?
Do you consider no kiss or no sex a failure?
On the first date?
Yeah.
No.
Obviously, dude.
Dude, literally as that you were reading
loser!
That, I was just imagining this guy unbuttoning buttons of his shirt down and exposing perfect chest lettuce, dude. This fucking guy's a legend, dude.
No, dude, you're a great guy. You're fine, man. Come on, you know you're doing great. I actually think it's better not to kiss.
Yeah.
And not to have sex on a first date. I think it's better to wait a little bit.
I think for him, since he's so cool, dude, don't kiss on the first date. Keep him wanting more.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're
exactly.
The man, dude.
Yeah. And build it up. Build up that tension.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do whatever you want. This way. I went on a bunch of online dates before I met my wife. Every girl I kissed on the first date fizzled immediately. My wife and I did not kiss on the first date.
I've had the same thing.
You sort of like to leave the date, the first date, where you're like, that was fun. Later.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're sort of like, whoa. And you just walk off, you know, lats out. And you're just...
Yeah. Spray them, dude.
They're like, I wish he kissed me. And you're like... You wish.
You know, with my dank ass fiance, we met at a party in college, freaking hooked up, straight up hooked up, dude. And then the next date she came over and we watched Hook, and we did not make out because I was too nervous. But in her mind, she was like, "Whoa, what's the deal? What's going on?"
He's cool. He's composed.
He's cool. Like, he's chilling.
Well, it's also a good sign that you're not turned on by children.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, Julia Roberts in that movie, though.
Yeah, that's true.
True. Yeah, dude. What's her character? Tinkerbell?
Tinkerbell.
Shut up.
What up, Tinkerbell? Dude?
What about Bob Hoskins in that movie, though?
Yeah, he's hot.
Which character is he?
Mr. Smee.
He's Mr. Smee.
Mr.
Smee.
Smee.
But what were you saying?
Smee.
Just saying, dude. You know, like, what's going on in your dome is not necessarily the narrative that's going on in her dome. So just be confident, be chill.
Yeah, I think if they're giving you the signs that they want to be kissed, then you got to be able to read those and act and be like, all right, clearly, you know, if they're like sort of waiting there like for you or whatever, like starting to like touch you a little bit, I think that's when they're like, they're saying subliminally, like, you got, throw on the move tonight. But if they're not doing that, then be cool.
Yeah, and this guy gets it. He's like, come on. He sounds like he's crushing it.
Yeah, the use of the word membrane, I was like, whoa.
Yeah, come on.
Dude, it's so true. And dude,
you said membrane, dude.
This guy's a beast, dude. And look, dude, nuance is tough when dating. And dude, back in my days of cybering, I used to cyber. And yeah, wow. Cyber.
Well, how so? What do you mean?
Oh, dude, it'd be like chat rooms. And I would cyber and I would just lead with I'm naked and I have a boner.
No way.
Yeah, it was chill. And this was before I met my fiance, but I'd cyber a lot. Yeah. And
I didn't know this.
Yeah. I would nut quick. Some ladies were into
cybering
cool,
with.
Just random strangers online.
How'd you meet it? Like, what kind of chat were you in?
Chat roulette.
So you just find someone in there? Could you see their face?
You'd find someone in there. You could, but I wouldn't. I wouldn't do it that way. I'd like to. Because I like the I like the language of it.
Could they see your face?
If they elected to. So I think I shared it once or twice.
Can you take us through like a typical
cybering
conversation?
Yeah. You'd start out, you'd go through chat roulette and you'd dodge about 8 dick pics. Mm-hmm. And this was just me, and that's all you'd see. And then you land on someone, and I would just say, what up, you want a cyber? And then someone would be like, yeah, I do want a cyber. And we would cyber, and it would be a fun like fantasy play out. And this is why I enjoy fantasy stuff. I'd be like, look, I'm a conquering hero. And she'd be like, oh my gosh, you came in and saved me from like the you know, the oppressing planets, like some Dune, a sort of Dune style narrative.
Mm-hmm.
The Harkonnen?
Yeah, sort of like the Harkonnen, and we get into
that type
of stuff.
Visuals don't do much for me.
I mean, dude.
Spaceship's a spaceship.
See,
keep going though, so you're cyber.
Here's the thing, I love sci-fi, so you're just not a sci-fi guy, that's the thing. I love Dune.
Keep going though, so you're
but yeah, I would get into sci-fi, I'd say I'm naked, I have a boner. And then like once I would really lean into all of fantasy. And when it actually, when we got done to brass tacks, it would be time to cyber and type back to each other about making love. I would just say, I'm naked, I have a boner, and we're jackhammering, and then I nut.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah.
All right. Next up. Dear Chad and JT. What up, boys? I listen to the pod a lot and have been loving it. However, I've been struggling lately with self-esteem and performance with my lady. Leading up to the deed, I feel great and ready to go rocking hardwood when push comes to shove. But when push comes to shove, I get scared and really nervous to where it completely takes me out of the situation. Keep in mind, I'm only 18, so it's scary that I'm having these dong issues at such a young age. JT, I know you struggle with similar issues. How did you get over that? It's not an ED issue, I think. I just get really nervous right as it's about to happen. We'll find any excuse to stop because my wood is now gone away. I'm tired of this, and I don't know what else to do besides maybe try pills. Please get back to me on this. I need the Stoke Lord's advice. P.S. Your brother's wedding looked dope. Oh, thank you, man. Dude, I would, has it been consistent with the same person? Is this all happening with his girlfriend? Let me see. I think you just got to find the right person you can go slow with, dude. And stop putting so much pressure on yourself. It might just take some time. But, he says he has a lady. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I had similar things, except it wasn't like ED. It was more like I couldn't nut.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't nut.
Yeah.
And, but then I think just through experience, I think. Yeah, it's the more you think about it, the more nervous you're going to get. And I think I think he's aware that it's a mental thing. And I think you just got to keep making yourself uncomfortable, and eventually the nerves will ease up. But I think you just got to break those nerves through action.
I love that advice.
Yeah, just keep going, man. You'll be all right.
And I think he said he's only about 18, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're a young guy, man. It's funny because I recently watched the series Love Life, which is dank. Season one is dank, but I was watching season two.
It's so good.
And there's a similar arc in season two where he sort of commits to this lady early on. And so maybe you're having, and dude, the body tells you things before the brain. The brain communicates with the body before the brain communicates with like your inner voice. So there's something going on that needs to dissect, and I don't know what it is. But maybe it's like commitment, or you're feeling pressure about the future and you're 18.
Maybe he's not ready. Yeah, your body could be saying you're not ready to have sex yet.
You're probably just straight up maybe not ready. And that's okay, dude. You're still young, dog. Like some people are already younger. Some people are already way older. I wasn't ready till I was older. So just chill.
Yeah, I think you're 18. No pressure.
Yeah, dog. Well, I understand you're going to be bad at it.
Yeah, you're going to be bad.
It's just like you're not going to walk on the field and be good at a sport. Like, you got to practice.
It's nice you're even getting the opportunities, really. Yeah. You're in way better shape than I was. I would just, if you know, if that's what you want, I would, I think just it'll happen when it's supposed to.
And open, honest communication. Just talk to the talk to your lady and go, hey, dude, she's going to be cool, man. She's young, cool, chick. You're progressive. Sorry I said chick. My fiance doesn't like that. And, just talk to each other, man. Talk to each other about it. It's okay, dude. Will Smith it, dude. Lean into that vulnerability, bro. Invent it if you have to. And just be a beast. You'll be all right, dude.
Also, maybe he's watching too much porn. I would watch less porn if that's something you're doing, because I know that porn watching and Jane off that would affect me. Mm-hmm. So I try to watch as little as I can. It's tough.
It's tough, dude. Mm-hmm. And just a note on porn watching. Porn watching is like watching fucking. It's like watching the NBA and watching someone throw down a dunk and then be like, yo, I should be able to do that. No, dude. No. That ain't what it is, dude. It ain't that. So don't hold yourself to that standard. You know what I mean? Just be considerate. Be chill. Be honest with yourself. Talk to your partner.
For sure. Have fun. Be silly.
Yeah.
With each other. Who cares?
Yeah.
You got this, dog.
Yeah, be silly. I like that.
What up, champs? My name is Augie from NorCal. I'm currently 15. I work at a restaurant and I meet lots of girls there. Lately, I've been meeting lots of 18-year-old girls and I love them. I'm still a virgin and I'm wanting to lose it. I don't have a huge doinker. However, I don't get excited too easy and it takes me a while to get hard. How do you put on a condom and how do I make an 18-year-old girl get off? I've gotten word from an 18-year-old that I'm the best kisser, 10 out of 10. Come from a hot 18-year-old, I'll take it. Also, do girls care about dong size? Any tips to give a young stud taking on older women? Love you, boys. Stay flowy.
Dude, I feel like this dude was at the end. He said young stud, and he'd be like, I'm 51.
I think this was written by a 50-year-old guy. Dude, for
totally,
sure.
Bro.
Yeah.
Later, dude.
He owns that restaurant.
Dude, you're fine. Whoever this 15-year-old is, you're doing great. You're fine. You don't need any advice. I'll take advice from you. Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, bro.
I think what you said is the best advice too. Just have fun. Have fun. If you're having a good time, the other person will have fun. Don't put so much pressure on any one thing. It'll be nice. And just pay attention.
Failure is experience.
What up, legends? I'm watching Fight Club for the first time and I'm freaking stoked. Brad Pitt is an all-time babe and legend. So I've been on a movie kick lately and always respect y'all's movie opinions. I might lean a little towards Aaron's point of view on Moneyball, to be honest.
Whoa.
Dude.
All right, let's sway his mind.
Just
bro.
Thought it was
stop
kind of boring.
The email now.
He wants a couple movie suggestions from y'all in the thriller suspense drawn genre that are must sees. Dude, we talked about Fight Club the other day, and I like that movie up until the point when you find out that Brad Pitt's not real.
I was going to say, watch Fight Club, but don't watch the end.
I like that movie more when Brad Pitt's a real thing and he's a badass. When he's made up, I'm like, no, I want my Brad Pitt to be real.
I agree.
What's a thriller suspenseful genre?
I mean, so thrillers are like whodunits. I would say Kiss the Girls. I would say
Enough by Jennifer
Enough.
Lopez.
Seven is a thriller.
Seven's a good thriller.
Very good. What did you say? Enough with J-Lo?
Enough with J-Lo.
Yeah, fuck yeah. I love J-Lo. She's on my actress list. Fuck yeah. Chad, good fucking call, dog.
No, he was literally saying Enough with J-Lo.
Oh, is that what he said?
Dude, you know what I like?
Dude,
that's
messed
not
up,
what
bro.
I was saying. That's how. Don't put words in my mouth, Aaron.
Is No Country a thriller?
No Country's a great
suspenseful.
Call.
Suspenseful.
Yeah,
it's suspenseful. It's tense.
Dude, you know what I liked
Gone
as a kid?
Gone Girl's a good thriller.
You know what I liked as a kid is Double Jeopardy. You guys like?
Yeah, it's a good Judd. Movie. Great movie. I love that movie. The Game, fun.
We're doing a lot of Finchers. You know what
I'm talking about? It took me a while to get through The Game. Yeah, it's a little dated. A little dated.
Well, it's not really character. It's all like plot. It's just this guy getting pushed through a bunch of shit.
But it's like a real thing.
Yeah, it is.
Probably still happening today.
Good thrillers. Oh, dude. What's Silence the one with Williams. Ben Affleck and Rajakowski? The Fincher movie?
I just said Gone Girl.
Oh, did you really? Yeah. Sorry, my bad.
And we're doing all, we got to do non-Fincher. We've done all Finchers.
Yeah, Silence of the Lambs.
That's great. A good thriller.
All time, of all time. Probably the best.
Looking through a list right now.
Is Event Horizon? That's more horror.
That's a horror movie. Horror, yeah.
I don't know.
What genre. Lies Beneath?
I've been genre though, dude, so yeah. Maybe Event Horizon.
What Lies Beneath?
Fun movie, Harrison Ford, yeah.
Drive is kind of a thriller.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Is Uncut Gems a thriller?
Dude. It definitely gives you suspense.
But I'd rather watch Good Time than Uncut Gems.
Yeah, I like Good Time more too.
Yep.
Yeah. That's a great one. Is Winter's Bone a thriller?
Yeah, yeah. Winter's Bone's a great thriller.
Mm-hmm.
What about Midsommar? Is that horror?
It's a horror, yeah.
The Departed?
Mm-hmm.
Crime drama?
Yeah.
It's hard to be thrilling when you're that long. It's tough to
We said Gone But Begone. What's the other one with Robert Downey Jr. and Tom Cruise's wife in Mission Impossible? Val Kilmer's in it.
Oh, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Oh, Basic Instinct is a thriller?
Yeah, great, dude.
That's a good one.
Another Michael Douglas.
Also Fatal Attraction.
Yep.
Nightcrawler, that's a thriller.
He might like some film noir movies too. He might like LA Confidential. He might like Chinatown.
Those are good movies. I hope he's got some patience. Well, yeah, enjoy those, dude. All right, last question. Am I the asshole? Lords of Stoke, what up? A few months ago, my girl broke my heart and dumped me. After breaking up, I wanted to show her friends that just because she broke up with me doesn't mean I hate everyone because of it, and I can still be friendly. I thought a nice way to do this would be to occasionally respond to her friends' Instagram stories.
Wait, say that again?
Bro, sorry. What?
Sorry, okay. He broke up with his girlfriend, and he wanted to show her friends that just because she broke up with me doesn't mean I hate everyone because of it. So I thought a nice way to do this would be to occasionally respond to her friends' Instagram stories. In a nice way, for example, like, this band is awesome. I guess this was taken the wrong way, and it somehow got back to her that I was hitting on her friends and attempting to slide into DMs. When we were dating, I was always worried about her male friend that was a little too friendly. A couple weeks ago, I saw her, and she told me that since I was DMing her friend, she hooked up with the guy I was always worried about. She kept saying how hurt she was. I would talk to her friends and try to slide in their DMs. Am I missing something here? Am I the asshole? Now she's saying maybe one day things can work out and we can get back together. But after that, I feel like there's no way we can have a healthy relationship. I don't think you guys are getting back together. No, that's not happening. But, and dude, I don't think it's great that she hooked up with that guy, but you guys are broken up. So it's also like, what the fuck can you do about it? But dude. Yeah, not normal. Mm-mm. Not normal sliding in the friend's DMs. I don't know what you were thinking, dude. Not the move, dude. Could you imagine?
No. Dude, if you were just commenting on the stuff and not sliding into DMs, okay. But even then, not really okay.
No, even that's
because
weird.
You're constructing a narrative. Once you're constructing narratives and going, they will perceive this move as me doing this, dial it back.
Yeah, I think just separate yourself entirely.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're like good friends with their friends and it was like, you know, it wouldn't be weird. I'd say once you break up later.
That's her circle. It's a distinct pod.
Yeah.
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 Also, I like what you're saying about building narratives where it's like, oh, like, because it's true. Like, this guy's overthinking it to death or he's not being honest with himself.
Yeah.
And he was kind of trying to flirt with these gals because like sometimes people will tell themselves like, hey, I'm just being a nice guy, but they're really trying to like, you know, get closer to people and might have some ulterior motives. So I'm not saying you were doing that, but when you write that email, my brain does go there and go, what was this guy actually trying to accomplish?
On a primal level, we're more attracted to women with attractive friends.
Yeah. Is that true?
Yeah.
Whoa. I mean, it's status. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. And for this guy too, and it's a tough thing to do, honest introspection, dude, calling yourself on your own shit. We lie to ourselves probably more than anyone else on this planet. You got to not lie to yourself, man. And it's a fucking tough thing to do. And you're probably doing a little bit since you were sliding into the DMs. So it's a part of maturity, awesome. But it's fucking tough, homie.
Well, I think to put yourself in their shoes. If your buddy just broke up with his girlfriend and then she was like DMing you saying like, this band is great. You'd be like, get the fuck out of my DMs.
Yeah. And also, totally. Also, totally. Dude, it's also the least interesting thing you could ever say. It's like, bro, you have no take on that band. Yeah. It's like, yeah, dude, they do a good show. Yeah. Like, what?
Well, okay. it's very clear he's just trying to stay in their lives. Yeah. Yeah, it's like the subtext is, hey, I'm still here. I'm still around. Totally, I still bro. Care. Yeah. Yeah, and it's like, no one wants you to care.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You just got to bail. Sorry, man. Sorry that happened with the guy you were worried about. It's a bummer, but...
Yeah, that's whack.
You
got to
move on. You got to move on. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not getting back together, and nor do you want to.
Hey, man, Aaron.
When she gave in to the guy who you were worried about the whole time.
No. Yeah, and I bet it wasn't about you.
He's never not going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After that.
Yeah. He's still DMing her.
I mean, I broke up with a girl who we had a lot of intertwined friends. And it's just like anything you post after that, if it even relates to her at all, it's like it's always going to look that way.
Yeah. And it's tough because sometimes there are ways where people can perceive things and look at it through the wrong lens. And you're like, no, I literally didn't mean it that way. And when that is true, you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. Chad, mm-hmm. Who's your beef of the week?
My beef of the week is with Waze. It's been my beef of the week before, but maybe more of a beef of the week with I-5, specifically I-5 when you get into Camp Pendleton. Because
there's no alternative there.
Exactly. So here's what happened. So I was driving down to San Diego on Saturday, Chris's wedding. I left at about 10:30 and I was like, you know, what is that? I'm giving myself about 5.5 hours.
To go 120 like, miles.
Yeah.
Just so everyone knows. Very manageable.
And Waze said 2 hours and 20 minutes. So I was like, it's enough buffer. Definitely gonna get to San Diego. Earlier than I need to be. And I'm going, and then, you know, I'm going through like Long Beach and it goes crash up ahead, delay 15 minutes. And I'm like, oh crap. And I was supposed to arrive at like 1:30. Yeah, 1:30. So now it's 1:45. And that just keeps happening, like crash ahead, delay, another 15 minutes. Now it's like 2:15, 2:30, 2:45. 3 p.m. and that the wedding started at 4 and I was like, oh fuck, dude. So I was sitting there in San Clemente, like stuck, you know, because it took me like the Cristianitos exit, and you know, so you could go around I-5 a little bit, but then you like it's all jammed up right there. So I was literally just stuck, and I was like, I don't see this thing, you know, it's just gonna keep racking up. So I was like, man, I'm probably gonna be late, and then it goes. And then I start moving a little bit, and it goes, traffic's clearing up. And I got there at 2. But it scared the fuck out for like an hour. You're just sitting there when you're in traffic like that and you have something to get to. I was like, I don't know what to do. Because you just don't, there's nothing you can do. And you're like, yeah, it was horrible. So
sorry, dog.
I've sat in that so many times. It's the worst was 4.5 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, it was scary.
Aaron, who's your legend or who's your beef of the week?
My beef of the week is with spilling food on yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Our buddy spilled water on you the other night.
Well, there is that.
Oh, yeah.
That was a disaster.
All over your dong.
Yeah. Luckily, it did not penetrate my jeans for whatever reason. I got home. I was completely dry.
Because you're strong, dude.
Although somehow my underwear was wet. Go figure.
Interesting.
You know, that could just been a good time.
You loved your shake.
Oh, it came back to bite me later in that evening. But yeah, I was just in a hurry today at work, and I had to get a meal in between shows and reset the whole studio, which is crazy. So I ordered some food, got delivered, was trying to wolf it down while recording, and I spilled it entirely. Well, not entirely, but sort of on my pants. I call it flying too close to the sun because it's like you're working, but you're also getting some good food in, and fuck.
You got to do it. It's the worst. I do it every time. Shredder, what's your beef of the week?
My beef of the week is with, and we touched on this a little bit peripherally, but it's with the title of Paul Thomas Anderson's next film, and it's called Licorice Pizza, which I think it just makes me, it makes the big brother in me, which I am, it makes me want to go, doorknob, and you better touch one because I'm going to fucking sock you in the shoulder. It's a very pretentious title. And then I did read a Vanity Fair article that one of our bros sent us, Robbie, and it cleared things up. I think that was the name of an arcade or something that he went to called Licorice Pizza. And he thinks those two words define like an era of adolescence. And I think that's a beautiful thing, but I think shut the fuck up. And part of what makes me so mad about it is because I know I'm going to love
it. You're going to love it.
Because I love PTA. I love his fucking movies.
And you know it's going to be cute and well observed.
Exactly, yeah. Dude. I'm going to cry. It's gonna be eighth grade. Bo Burnham, bro, I fucking cried during that movie. I fucking, dude, There Will Be Blood. That movie for me is like all time, dude.
Smart to soften yourself here.
I know. Very smart. Yeah, man, I don't know. It's just Licorice Pizza. Dude, needs to get punched in the face. Maybe even people's elbow.
My beef of the week is, and Strider actually told me to make this my beef of the week. It is with Strider. It's a very minor beef, and it's actually more couched in adoration, but Strider does drugs now.
So what's up, then?
He did mushrooms, and he told me he also did Molly.
I did.
When he was in Las Vegas.
I did Molly, yeah.
The night we went separate routes, I hit a nightclub, and they stayed gambling, and he did Molly.
Yeah.
The gambling or nightclub?
We did it before we went to the nightclub. Like, we were gambling, chilling, and then one of my brother's bros was like, yo, do you guys want to go to the moon? And I was like, what? Crypto? And he's like, no, Molly. And I was like, all right, we're in Vegas. And we just put a little bit in our mouth right here.
This is actually my beef, is that every time Strider does drugs now, he comes up, you know, like weeks after, confesses, you know, he comes to terms with it. He goes, dude, I did mushrooms, or dude, I did Molly. And then I always get surprised because he'd never done any of this stuff. I go, what? You did Molly? And then he always goes, just a little bit.
It is true. And the dude that I was with, he's like, I think you need to do a little more. I was like, no, just a little bit. He's like, you need to do more, dude. I was like, all right. And even at your brother's wedding, I did more shrooms at Chris's wedding. And we were chilling with Reggie, and he's like, here you go. I was like, because Chris was like, dude, just ask for a cap and a stem and you're chilling. I was like, I'll take a cap and a stem. And then I took like two caps and like two stems and you were like, bro, you need more. And then I did it and then I was a little bitch too. And I was like, dude, can I get the chocolate bars? Like, no one has chocolate bars.
Those are better though. I don't want to out anybody, but a lot of people were doing mushrooms at the wedding. It was a wild party.
It was fun, man.
It's fun to think of, you know, like there's certain drugs for each event. It's fun to think of a wedding as being a shrooms event. I don't think they traditionally go together, but it was a nice marriage.
I think if you do, and look, I'm new to this, but I think if you do like a small amount of shrooms or like the right amount, you can do it at any occasion.
Yeah, you just, mm-hmm. It just kind of turns you up a little bit.
You just don't want to see God. You don't want to do too much because it can go south on you.
No, you just want to see colors. Mm-hmm. Colors brighten up and you just get a little silly. Mm-hmm. You get silly.
Chad, do you have a babe of the week?
Yes. Oh, it's Will Smith.
Nice.
I really enjoyed King Richard. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it yet.
You're about 12 minutes. I really enjoyed it. I saw it with a date and we had a great time. It's very moving and it's one of those movies where I was like, yeah, yeah, woo. I love doing that. When you're in the theater, you're like, I love those movies and theaters that get you amped on life and you're like, yes, I love it. And that makes you want to go out there and take action and do your own shit. So the whole time I was like, fuck yeah, Richard, and it got me fired up. And I was happy for Will Smith that he like he made a good movie.
Yeah, good.
I know.
Yeah,
he's kind of had kind of a tough run as of late.
After Earth,
oh brutal,
Gemini Man. What did he do with his son?
After Earth.
And he did that big Netflix movie with Joel Edgerton.
Right. Oh, yeah. The
Bright.
Yeah,
Bright.
But Joel Edgerton's a beast, dude. Wrote The King with our boy Timothy Chalamet. Yeah. Love him, dude.
Yeah, wrote and directed The Gift. That movie's a good thriller. That's a good thriller. Aaron, who's your babe of the week?
My babe of the week is the place I got the food from, Yaki's in Burbank. They do. Their special sauce is Thousand Island and teriyaki sauce together. It's like sweet, sour, savory all at once. It's great. They do a thin patty. It's a quarter pound, but it's thin. It's like this.
Mm.
So thin. And then thick lettuce. So you get a crunch. So good, dude.
Nice.
Really, really fired me up and was really disappointing when some of it fell on the ground.
Oh, fuck. That's tough. You don't want to lose any of that.
Yeah.
Sure. I like that you get crunch in there.
Yeah, yeah, you got to. They also do this thing, which you'll never find anywhere else in the world. It's a hot dog covered in cheese, deep fried in a wonton.
Whoa.
It's called a bulldog.
Interesting.
You dip that in the yaki sauce. I got one. It's only $2. You get one with your burger. Amazing.
Dang.
Hell yeah.
Fucking dang.
Strider, who's your babe of the week?
Babe of the week's got to be my GF, dude. She's just freaking beast, dude. We're just chilling, dude. And we're planning our wedding. And she has just fire calls, dude. And we went and saw Stone Brewery. And it was legit, but it's got a lot of planes flying overhead. And not like high overhead, but like literally they take off like 25 feet from the venue. Mm. And she's like, look, dude, we're not even going to do our ceremony here. We're going to do that at Sunset Cliffs. So we could just have the Rager here and it'd be fine. And plus they got dank IPAs. So I'm fired up on that. So just her open-mindedness, I guess, could be why she's my baby of the week. You know?
That's it. Yeah, Kearney Mesa?
Liberty Station. Liberty Station, kind of close to Point Loma.
Oh, okay. So it's right by the airport, like mm-hmm. Lindbergh Field.
Dude, literally, Lindbergh Field. Literally right there.
Wow.
Yeah. Like next door neighbors.
My baby of the week is Jeremy.
Oh, yeah.
The dude who shaved the line down the middle of his dome at the show.
Yeah.
Came early to the show. He said, hey, I brought my clippers. I want to support the Amazon. And we were like, hell yeah, dude. But it was a big sacrifice because like Chad said, he had majestic amazing flow.
Amazing 2 years hair worth of growth.
All the way down to the shoulders. Handsome guy with like Tristan from Legends of the Fall hair. And he was like, you know what? I want to do this. I just moved out here. I'm like restarting like the direction of my life. And I want to make strong choices. And I want to be part of something. And I was like, yeah, dude, we appreciate the support, man. And then Strider, you shaved that line well down his dome and he stood on stage with us. And it felt like a big moment. Mm-hmm. And it felt like this was building some momentum and it felt like he felt good about it, which was really nice. And we've been communicating a little bit since then. He's a great guy. Mm-hmm. Hung out a little bit afterwards. He's got a good spirit, good energy. And we appreciate you, Jeremy. Thank you, dude.
Beast.
That was a big move. Big ass move. And yeah, we don't take it lightly. So thank you. Keep shaving lines down the middle of your dome, guys. Let's save the Amazon. We can save it. If we shave enough lines, besides Strider, we'll save the Amazon.
Yeah, and I'll shave as many lines as I get the honor of doing.
Don't keep posting about Strider not doing it. Don't keep doing that. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. So stop. It'd
be sick if you guys chill on that.
Strider is one of the trees, guys.
Yeah. Dude, I went to taught
don't do
Chinese
it,
for one summer and my name is Dalin, which means big forest. So
is that true?
That's my Chinese name. Yeah, my Zhongguan da Minzi.
What'd you just say?
That means Chinese name Zhongguo, which means Chinese person. The Minzi, and my inflections are all wrong because I'm a fucking straight up bro, and that means name.
Aaron, have you thought about it?
No.
Or do you mean you thought about it and it was a quick decision?
Strong.
Not thought about it. I think I'm hard enough time getting my hair to do what I want, let alone putting this line right down the middle of it.
I think I look kind of sick.
It may not come back.
You look fucking chill, dude.
I think I look sick. Chad, who's your legend of the week?
My legend of the week, Don Johnson of Miami Vice fame.
Nice.
The original Sonny Crockett.
Yeah. So Don Johnson, there's an article that says Don Johnson says his sex life has gotten better with age. When asked by host Andy Cohen, 53, if his sex drive remains as active as in his youth, Johnson replied with a straightforward yes. Hold on.
Good for him, man.
The Lothario added, you actually get better at it. I've turned it into a science. Well, and then Cohen goes, all rave reviews on Yelp for Don Johnson. Well, I can't guarantee that, you know, circumstances being what they are. You never know what you have to work with. The aged whoopee wizard mused. I'm feeling pretty good about the review situation.
Whoopee wizard?
Yeah, that's what this Jesus is.
What's whoopee wizard?
I don't know, dude.
He's a wizard whoopee, like sex.
Ah.
Yeah. Making whoopee.
It's nice little rage.
It's like something Chad tried to come up with at the last second. It's his first draft.
Yeah. But yeah, I just love that article. I thought he's a beast, and it's just hilarious to me. So, and shout out to him for keeping his libido up at, you know, he's 71. Don Johnson, Sonny Crockett on Ghost Fast Boats, just delivering the wood.
Let's go. That's what's maybe up. The best stubble in the game ever.
Yeah, amazing stubble, amazing flow.
Yeah,
yeah.
He crushed it in Knives Out.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Tin Cup. He's a good bad guy.
He's also in Django.
Yep. Watchmen.
He's TV a beast. Show. And what a name, too. Don Johnson. You have to be good in the sack if your name is Don and your last name is Johnson.
Yeah, it's almost Dong. It's and your last name is penis.
Yeah.
So that's tight.
That's
and like Don Juan DeMarco. It's like a lover's name, Don.
Yeah.
Good call.
Don.
My legend of the week is a podcast called Tell Him Steve Dave.
What the fuck are you talking about in another podcast?
Yeah. I've done this before. I've cleared it with you every time.
This is wrong. Darren.
This is fucking quit it. This is fucking insane, dude. Are you nuts?
History is Dank's the only better podcast you'll have to talk about.
Is this on the ATC brand?
No, they're not.
This is demented, dude.
Oh my god. Demented, Bertolina listens to this, dude.
It's fine, bro. Man.
All right, so what is it?
It's called Tell Him Steve Dave. It's one of Kevin Smith's, it's offshoot of Kevin Smith world. Right. But they just had their 500th episode, and I've been listening since episode one, and to think about that is insane.
It is.
Some people weren't born when I started listening to this podcast, so
that's crazy. What's it about?
Give a shout out. It's just people. It's just talking shit. I mean, that's all it is. They're in New Jersey. It's fun.
All right, I like it.
One of the guys is on the Impractical Jokers.
Nice.
Yeah.
My legend of the week is my brother.
Yeah.
And Becca.
Yeah.
They got married on Saturday. It's crazy. Dude, it was so surreal. I was like, my brother's married. Like, it didn't feel real. Like, at various points in that, I was like, I can't believe this is like, we're all here to celebrate these two. And they're such a beautiful couple, honestly. Like, it's funny when people write in and are like, hey, like, this person's kind of giving me mixed vibes. This person's sort of doing that. And like, there's all this unknown. And with those two, I never got any of that. Like, they knew they wanted to be together from the beginning. And they've just done it right. Like, they've been loyal to each other. They have fun together. I think they're going to continue to have fun. And they're just happiest when they are together. So that's where they belong. And I'm happy that's how it went and how it's going to keep going. And yeah, congratulations to you too. You're both beautiful people and you threw a hell of a party. So thank you guys. Yeah, they're the best. Chad, what's your quote of the week?
Wait, but I didn't do my legend yet.
Oh, shit. I skipped you?
It's all good. Yeah.
Bro, sorry.
It's quick. It's just long sleeve tees.
Nice. We're
getting to that season in SoCal. Just love wearing a long sleeve tee.
Did you see we had someone write in that their girlfriend didn't like when he wore long sleeve tees with shorts?
I love that look.
It's a great look.
It's one of my favorite looks.
You crush
SoCal
that look.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what climate they live in, but I mean, we're in like sort of chaparral climate. So I think that's probably, I don't know, but it's one of the most fire looks you can have.
Nice. So. Chad, what's your quote of the week?
Comes from King Richard, the movie. You fail to plan, you plan to fail.
I saw that.
Beast.
Aaron.
My quote of the week is from JT from earlier on that email where the guy's DMing his friends. He's just not the move, dude.
Amazing, perfect. Dude.
Strider. I got a few. Guys, today, you know, history is dank. I'm a history guy. Today, JFK was assassinated.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So I've got a few JFK quotes here, and these are the first ones that pop up. I just typed into Google. I'm going to rattle them off. Forgive your enemies, but never forget their names. The rights of every man are diminished when the rights of one man are threatened. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. We must find time to stop and thank the people who make a difference in our lives.
Nice, like, dude.
Basically top five Kennedy quotes.
Those are great.
Yeah.
Mine is from the movie The Town. I rewatched it. It's an amazing movie. And it's when Ben Affleck's trying to leave Charleston and get out of there. And his Jeremy Renner, his buddy, the character's name is Jem. He's like, you're not leaving. You got responsibilities here. And then Ben Affleck goes, what are you talking about? All you care about is Coke and Xbox. What a line.
That's great.
And I feel like you can really picture that Jem character at home doing coke and playing Xbox all day. And also, I think there's a lot of guys like that who that is like the two main things, you know, they're worried about. So I was like, it's a good dialogue, dude. Yeah. Chad, what's your phrase of the week for getting after it? Or did I skip? No, I didn't skip you this time.
Phrase of the week for getting after it is, dude, my zipper is done up.
Aaron, what's your phrase of the week for getting after it?
Let's get silly.
Strider.
Sun's out, guns out.
Mine is from Gangs of New York. I watched that movie front to back before heading down to SDNM. When Leo DiCaprio first sees Cameron Diaz and she walks off, yeah. He says, "She is a prim-looking stargazer." That's a nice way to describe someone. All right. Oh, dude, can we do one more thing before we sign up? He does a great Dickie from The Fighter.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so
I got to get into it.
I'll be Mark Wahlberg real quick. You're going to train me to fight?
Also, when we were talking about
Melissa Leo. Do you want to be Melissa Leo? Dickie's mother?
Sure. I don't really remember.
She's crazy Boston lady.
Yeah.
Mickey, you were supposed to be here 3 hours ago to train me.
Look, I'm sorry I'm late. I'm turning things around. Don't worry about it.
What do you mean you're turning things around? You're supposed to be here 3 hours.
No, I'm stone cold sober. I'm ready to box. Hit the gloves. Let's go. I'm ready to hit the gloves. I already got the gloves on. Come on, let's go.
All right, fine.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Hit him. Hit. I threw up.
Mickey.
I'm sorry. I'm fucking sorry.
Why are you throwing up? Are you fucked up?
I'm not fucked up. Look, I'm a little bit fucked up.
You're fucked up.
I'm just a little bit fucked up because, you know, look, I'm trying to turn things around. It's just tough on me. You know, you're the fighter. Mom loves you. When she looks at me, what does she see? What'd she see?
Hey, don't say that.
No, Mom, admit it.
You're always on Dickie's side. You're always on Dickie's side.
Mom, Dickie, I love you. I love you, Dickie.
Mom, you know I love you, but you got me.
Mom, he's fucked up. He can't train me. This is bullshit.
Look, I may be fucked up.
Mom.
But look, we're all fucked up. We're a fucked up family. We're a fucked up family. And Mickey, you fucking
box. He's turning his stuff around. He's turning himself around. What's your name again?
Mickey.
You're turning himself around, Mickey. Come on, you can't see that?
He's not turning himself. You sure you're ready?
He's sober. He's sober.
Ma, I ain't sober right now.
You're sober.
You gotta keep convincing me.
Okay. Mom, I'm sober.
Look how sober he is.
Look at me.
He's a gentleman human being. He's sober.
I'm ready to move.
I threw up again.
Ma, he can't.
You're making him sick with all your training, Mickey. You're making him sick. Look at what you're doing. You put all this pressure.
He's supposed to train me, Ma. He's supposed to come in here and train me. I've got a fight coming up. He's supposed to train me.
Hey, who trained you? Who's your brother?
You're putting all this pressure on your big brother. You know he's got pressure on him. He's a trainer.
Who made you tough?
Look how sober he is. Look how sober.
You made me tough.
Yeah, I'm sober as hell. And I made you tough.
You made me tough.
And when other kids came up to you, who came up to you and tell you first, you fucking sock him in the jaw first, you fucking get out of there.
You told me that.
Who taught you that?
He taught you that, Mickey.
He taught me.
But let me tell you something.
I got a fight coming up. You're supposed to train me. I'm here.
Actions speak louder than words. Actions speak louder than anything.
Is he not here?
I'm standing right here. I'm in the ring.
All right.
Go ahead and hit me. Come on. That's good shit. All right, come on. I'll come low.
Hit harder, Mickey.
I'll come low.
Hit harder.
I'll come low.
Mickey, you're not hitting hard enough.
Now look, I need to borrow some money.
What do you mean?
I need to borrow a little bit of money.
Why are you asking for money while I'm training? He's asking for money while I'm training. This is bullshit.
Your big brother asks you for money. You give him money.
Ma, here's the thing. I don't want to ask Ma for money. You're a big time boxer now. Come on. You're gonna hit big. I want to bet on you. I'm bet on our fucking family.
That's my son right there.
Can I bet on our fucking family?
Hey, Mickey. Fuck you.
Yeah, Ma. Admit it, Ma. Mickey was an accident. Mom and Dad had me on purpose.
I got a big fight coming up.
Let me tell you something.
Ma, if I got a big fight coming up, why are you telling me I'm an accident? Why would you talk about a big fight?
Because I never wanted you, Mickey.
That's right.
You're just a pain in my ass.
Hey, let me tell you what. I was there listening when Mom and Dad made you.
Oh, that was a good night.
I was listening. And Ma even said, hey, are you almost there? You better get ready. Right on the back. Right on my tramp stamp. Mom's got a tramp stamp, but you didn't know that. I did. And I'll tell you right now.
Are you on drugs too?
I'll tell you right now.
I'm big time. I'm all fucked up.
Yeah, your whole family's on drugs. Why are you guys all on drugs when I got a big fight
coming up? Because we had you, Mickey. Because we had you.
Hey, it's not my fault,
Mom. Your father didn't pull out, and now I got all this pressure on me.
Mickey ain't punching guys in the face of drug.
Yeah, we got this sober Sally up in here.
Ain't it hurting other guys?
Why are you slobbering?
Because I'm fucking fucked up.
Why are you so fucked?
Fucking fucked up. I love fucking Jim Beam. I love fucking Jim Beam.
Why are you talking about Jim Beam when we're in the gym? Why are you talking about Jim Beam here?
Because we're in the gym and it's Jim Beam.
All right, there it is. Thanks, guys. All right. Sweet.
I got to see the genesis of that at Cantor's. That was real fun.
All right, cool.
The most fun, dude.
We good?
We're good.
Let's go.
Yeah.
All right.
Stokers, keep writing reviews. Stay stoked. Listen to History is Dank.
Yeah.
And stay stoked. Stay stoked.
Who's your quarterly? Joe, what's your quarterly?